Okay, so we only have a few minutes now because we had to spend some time talking about some technical details. But let's just get us into, really dip our toe into Hakones, and then tomorrow I'll give you some more marmor, some more specific marmor comb. Let's just ask you to get started with the Gemara on Shitosis. So tomorrow I'll give you some specific marmor comb, and we'll try to get into some of the details of what this parak is telling us, what the beginning of the parak is telling us. So, essentially, the themes in Hakones at the beginning here are very crucial to complement our opening shiurim, the very beginning of the year, because the fundamentals of liability for nezikin are addressed here in their own way. So, just as much as we talked about on day one, what is the nature of the chi of nezikin, the chi of tashlumin, and the iser? So too for both topics, this opening discussion, this opening sugya and hakones, is very important in terms of figuring out what you're chayiv for, in a general sense, and also this is something we really spend some time on. I think you probably tomorrow. Is as far as an Isser is concerned, because that's also something which is going to be very relevant to these sugyas here, the possible distinction between an Isser and a Chiyuv. So here, what does the Mishnah basically talk about? What's the general theme of the Mishnah? Somebody, I mean, what is it that we're trying to establish with this Mishnah? Sam? Well, yes, but get a little more specific, right? Because that part I already just said. But,
How do you evaluate?
That's part of the Mishnah, but there's something really probably more fundamental. What do you think is the fundamental message? If I had to say one line, one principle that emerges from the Mishnah, even though it's clearly a lot of details in the Mishnah, but what would you say is the key point, Shmuel?
What is your own due diligence?
Okay, it seems to be more about that, right? What's the due diligence? Because what we're talking about in this case are situations where you took a step. Hakoynis tom ladir. You put the animals in a corral. But something went wrong. And where do we define what counts as going wrong and what's your fault and what's not your fault? And what exactly is going to be your obligation? And a major theme, a major distinction that's going to come. How far in the Gemara did you guys get? Did you get to Nivav Med Aleph? So you'll see hopefully tomorrow, and I'm going to give you some more specific marmakomos. But what you will see is a lot of the dinim here are subject to a distinction between Chayiv B'dinei Adam and Chayiv B'dinei Shamayim. So it's important for us to have some understanding of what that means, practically speaking. What does it mean to be Chayiv B'dinei Shamayim? That's particularly the case because it's important for us to understand that for a few reasons. One, because these things come up, so we want to know what they mean, practically in real life. But also, what does it say about something? And we had an opportunity to talk about this a little bit with some of the sugyas last month, right? What does it say about something to say that you're chayiv on one level but not the other level? Hi.
It's not like you don't have any necessarily, you're not like required to pay, but it's morally wrong. You can also kind of be forced to pay, maybe, in those cases.
Well, so let's think about that, right? So, you know, what are some of the questions that are going to come up? You know, when we say chayiv b'dinei shamayim, what kind of practical issues come to mind? You know, what does it mean if you don't fulfill a chiyuv b'dei shamayim? Does it mean anything? Does it have any nafkaminas within our society?
Mechila.
So does it affect mechila? It's a strong possibility. Right, so how does that interact with your chiyuv of bakashas mechila to somebody else? Right, especially since that's also a sugya we talked about last month. that it seems like connected to or parallel to a chiyuv tashlumin, there is a chiyuv bakashas mechila. So how does one affect the other? Okay, so that's one possible area. Yeah, Maury?
If you throw all the way back to Hagadah's Nezek and Ezekiel, we understand it to be a communal thing, that a person that is over in that, even if he doesn't have to pay, he still might be poking his place in society.
Okay, so is that a moral criticism? Is that like similar to what we were talking about yesterday, about things that individuals aren't necessarily makbid on, but have a potential broader impact? Is there something else there? What is that? Is that just a descriptive term?
Sounds like a moral person.
Okay, so you're saying so, but other people don't really have a role? Like, can anyone try to impact on a person who's chayv v'din shamayim to do anything?
Beastin.
Sorry?
Beastin might often force people to get up the pyre for something.
So then the question becomes, well, all right, so then what is the difference? Is it just a completely semantic difference? That Bezdin, when you're chayv v'din adam, Bezdin can compel you to pay. And when you're chayv v'din shamayim, Bezdin can compel you to pay for a different reason?
Well, it seems like maybe the actual just tashlum isn't really relevant anymore. Maybe there's, if it's Chayav B'Din Shemayim,
he
has to repair that in some other kind of way.
So Chayav B'Din Shemayim means that you're obligated to this guy, but not the Tashlumi Nezek. There's something else.
Yeah.
Is that what it means? We'll have to see. Any other possible issues? You know, if let's say I do some kind of Nezek to your property, where it's in this category of Chayav B'Din Adam, a Patur B'Din Adam, a Chayav B'Din Shemayim, and you come and you ask me to pay you. So do I say, that is totally not your business. This is between me and God? Or is that an inappropriate attitude? Should I be more polite about it? Is this only about my kapara? Is this about my offense to you? Is it essentially the same thing as chayav v'din shamayim, but just Bezdin doesn't get involved? Or asked another way, does it affect your status within the community if you do not fulfill an obligation b'dinei shamayim? How do you think it might affect your status?
I mean, it's hard to put a concrete term for it. If you want to abstract it, then I would return to what I was saying before.
Just stop that you're... But what about things like, for example, psulei edus? Are you any worse off as an aide, let's say, if you don't fulfill a chiyuv midin shamayim?
You might be, you're a sinner.
Okay, so you're a sinner. Are you a sinner in the public sense? Because we know that when we talk about psulei edus, we do distinguish between naveiros that are private and naveiros that are public on some level.
Or not, because you're part of the midin shamayim, since it's maybe the public.
Okay. Shmuley? Okay, so the difference, the practicalities of a chiyuv b'dinei shamayim are important, and I'll give you some makaris to look about that tomorrow. But it also affects just what are we saying about these actions, and what are we saying about the actions that are differentiated from them, and that there is a chiyuv b'dinei adam. What's the key difference? So that's something we're going to have to keep an eye out for. We also have to keep an eye out for the question of what does it mean to say that we're looking at your actions to protect your damaging items and how we're evaluating them, kiroi, not kiroi, what's called kiroi. And keep in mind that we also saw on day one a question of what is the cause of a chiyuv tashlumin. Do we say that you pay because when mamoncha is mazik, it's as if you did the hazik? Or do we say that the chiyuv is because of your responsibility for your property and your obligation to be shomeret? And therefore, when you are shomeret, even if it's inadequate, maybe that at least gets you somewhere. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to look at any of the Tosfos in here. I know I didn't highlight anyone specifically, I told you to go straight, but if you saw a Tosfos Nifritza, the second Tosfos, it's a fascinating point. There is a somewhat subtle machlokus in this Tosfos, because you look at it together for a second. So the first lines of the Mishnah, Hakonis som ledir v'nar b'faneh karoi, so if you put your animal in a corral and you locked it up well, v'yatzeh v'zika pater, it goes out and it does damage, then you are pater. Now, why are you pater? What does Rashi say over here? Why are you pater? Tahan natra umay havi leila mabed, because you guarded it. Yeah, what could you have done? You have to figure out what that phrase means, umay havi leila mabed. Does that mean that if there is anything more you could have done, you would be chayiv? It's not going to sound like that from some other things that we see. So apparently it sounds like he means that he did what you were supposed to do. There could have been physically more that was possible to do, but you did your job. And that's something we're going to have to figure out what that means. So here the Mishnah goes on to have a description here. Nifritza balayla, osha partsua listin. If the gate broke in the middle of the night, or robbers came and broke it open, v'yotza v'zika, and then there was damage happening from there, what's the din then? Again, you're putter. So what's the point of that line? Right. So clearly, something must have happened anyway if there was a hezek. You locked it up. Right, the first line the Mishnah already tells us that you locked it up and there was a hezek anyway. And you're putter because you acted responsible. So then, what is the Mishnah adding when it says, oh, but if it broke in the middle of the night, or if robbers broke it, oh, you're still putter.
Maybe it wasn't really locked so well.
So then, how do you know that from that new clause? That well, nighttime... So is it to tell you that it doesn't have to be locked so well because it's susceptible to robbers? Is that the point? Shabbataya?
Maybe. I'm
sorry?
I guess maybe it has to be, I guess, not susceptible so animals don't break through, but not because of other human reasons. Like human.
So you're saying the Mishnah is telling you that this is just a way of saying, here's the standard, that the previous line told you if you locked it, you're off the hook. And now we're just telling you that, by the way, if it was locked in a way that robbers could get it, you're still off the hook. So this is to tell you what the standard of location is. And what does Lila then have to do with that? Who's up first? Zed?
So Tosfos, he talks about the idea that it says earlier on that you're chayv bayom.
Mm-hmm.
If it breaks out, so it needs to teach at night that's going to be different. That you might have thought that you would be chayav because there's a kal that would maybe go out that people would hear about it and therefore you'd be chayav, but no, you would not be.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says even if a kal did go out, you would still be pater because we wouldn't be torech a person to go at night and look for his animal because of the darkness.
Okay, so that's a pretty fascinating Tosfos. Let's look at the Tosfos together for a second. So Tosfos addresses that. Like I was saying, let's look at Tosfos together for a second. So Nifritza b'layla says Tosfos afal pi d'tanu no b'fanei k'roi pater. Even though we already know that if you locked it up, okay, it was pater. So it's derech l'misni Nifritza b'layla pater. We still need to add that if it breaks open at night, that there's a p'tur. This is to contrast with what could happen if it broke during the day, b'chayiv. D'kol isle l'milsa, because then it becomes well known. U'mistama yada shenifritza. And there, you probably know that it was broken. So there's a contrast drawn here between your likelihood of having known about it or not. So it sounds like what the Mishnah is telling us is that if you know about it, so then you have a new obligation to do something. You're not off the hook forever. You're only off the hook until you find out that it's not working. But during the night, you're not as likely to know about it. That's what the first part of Tosfos is saying. However, as a machlokas, inami, I'll give you another possible answer. Inami balayla filu noigaloshin nefritza viyatza behema. Even if it did become clear, let's say you have your smart corral app, so it goes off and it tells you that it sends the message to your cell phone, says that it's been breached. So you know, just like you know during the day. We're not forcing you to get up in the middle of the night to go search for it in the dark. Now, by the way, that phrase itself becomes very significant to know what to pay attention to. Because when we say we're not being matriach you to go up in the night, look after it in the dark, so are we emphasizing because you have to get up in the middle of the night? Or is it about the darkness? Right, nafkamina for Bizman Hazat, pretty much, right? Where people still don't necessarily want to get up in the middle of the night, but it's not as dark as it was once upon a time. And we have artificial lighting all over the place. So is it about the darkness or is it about the middle of the nightness? But either way, it's quite fascinating. First answer in Tosfos is telling us a standard where you can't be expected to know about it. But the second answer in Tosfos is telling us that even if you do know, that apparently there are limits to how far you have to go. And that with a certain degree of minimal responsibility, you're off the hook. Which, if you see further in the Gemara here, there are other examples of that. And there's a concept of a reduced level of shmira constituting your obligation. So we have to explore why all of that is. And just, won't have time to say all of it now, so we'll mention this tomorrow also. So tomorrow I'm going to give you some makaros also to give some framework for the Dine Adam, Dine Shamayim contrast. So we should have some sense of what that means. But also we'll talk a little bit more about this Lila point, because very relevant to try to figure out where the limits are. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein often has these fascinating questions, but this one, his discussion, we'll mention it tomorrow. You can also take a look at it if you want, if you get up to it. Question of testing the limits here. So is this some kind of absolute exemption during the nighttime? Let's say, for example, you have a property somewhere that you don't live in, or you're not home tonight, or whatever it is, and you get a message on your phone that your neighbors are very upset because your alarm went off in the middle of the night. And the alarm is waking them all up. So are you obligated to get up in the middle of the night and go to this property and turn off the alarm? Is this Tosfos telling you that you're not obligated? Setting aside the question of what is good advice if you want to ever be invited to dinner at your neighbor's house again. But from a chiyuv perspective, is there any distinction here? So maybe that we'll start with tomorrow before going a little further, but just off the bat, you have any thoughts about that? Is it a comparable situation? Is it a different situation? Yeah?
It's not Nezek.
Right, so therefore what? Make it better or worse?
It makes it less of a reason to have to get up. Maybe Nezek, you're more obligated.
This is a Kal Vachomer from Nezek. Here we're talking about Nezek, and we don't seem to obligate you, which is, again, a pretty striking idea. But that sort of sounds like, so you're saying everything else is less than that. Maybe. Sam?
You said earlier the question between is that, like, is it tirchah versus having to search for the dark or darkness? Mm-hmm. You know where it is. It's not like you're searching for it.
Okay. Right.
It's less of a tirchah.
And Bizman is a,
right, of course. Right.
Right, we have the lights. So that's a possible distinction.
Is there no nezek for, like, damaging someone's productivity?
There is.
Is there nezek shena also?
There should be, yeah. There's gezel shena, and the sources for gezel shena are a little unclear, but it's very possible that that's what it's based on. That's how Zalman Chemi understood. Okay, if any other thoughts about how to address that question? Okay, so we'll start with that point tomorrow and then and figure out the parameters of Dine Adam and Dine Shamayim and try to understand how this whole daf over here, how does this contribute to our understanding of what the Chiyuv Tashlumei Nezikin is about and what the Isser Nezikin is about and how does that affect a lot of our lives. All right, so I wish you all a wonderful day. Should be all of your